Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hello.
Hi, is this Barbara?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is John. I'm calling from John and Pam, and we're a not-for-profit, and we're just calling people to check in with them and see how they're doing. Are you having, are you doing okay?
You're calling from where?
John and Pam. We're a not-for-profit, and we're just checking in to see how everybody's doing. Are you having an okay day?
Yes, I'm listening while you're calling.
We're just calling people to see, you know, how their day's going and how their life is going. It's not a...
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Now here's the man who's greening your world one kilohertz at a time, Mike Novak.
It's a cold morning in the city of Chicago. It's not that bad.
It's chilly. It'll get worse.
I got all kinds of information from Rick DeMaio, who's sending me bulletin after bulletin this morning. I'm glad he's up. I'm glad we don't have to wake him at 8:30. It's always a good... you know what? By this time of the day, he's already done 30 miles in the kayak.
Probably.
And
now he's got the ice skimmer in the front of it. You know, he's like... trimming off the top layer.
The kayak icebreaker. Yeah. That guy, he could paddle through the North Sea. There would not be a problem. He could paddle through the Arctic Ocean.
I believe it.
Welcome, everybody. It is Marathon Day. You know, and I was thinking this is good weather for Marathon. Remember a couple of years ago they had like 80 degrees and...
there were people passing out all over the place.
Somebody died.
Yeah.
This is much better.
One of my friends who does do the marathons told me that Chicago is a big marathon because you have to have a marathon under your belt before they'll let you in at Boston.
Uh-huh.
And Chicago is a big one to
because
like...
because you don't have to.
Yes, you don't need one beforehand. So you do Chicago, then you can move on in marathon
what
status.
What if you just walk it? You have to finish a certain time, don't you?
I guess.
I would never try a marathon. You know what?
I hate running. And I only run after my kids.
I will never know. You and I will never know what that's like.
I like walking briskly.
That's okay. Now, before we go any further, this is for Greg. I have to get something out very quickly in the show here because we have, and Greg is, of course, works on the Jake Hartford Show.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Saw him Thursday night at Joe McCardle's big send-off.
No, sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for being there. Thanks for being supportive.
I wanted to be there. I didn't have a babysitter.
You know, you couldn't even, can't even tip one with the old Joester. The Joester's leaving. I know.
I'm a heathen. I'm horrible.
Joe McCardle, of course.
I don't think they would have appreciated a 2.5-year-old in tow with me at that function.
Just leave the kid in the car and turn the heat on, okay?
Crack a window.
Crack a window. The kid's going to be fine. Jeez. Like being a parent is so hard.
Well, it's when he starts pounding on the glass going, Mommy, oh, that people tend to frown on things.
Of course, I don't know anything about it. Anyway, so there were Joe McArdle, of course, the voice of Chicago's progressive talk for
many years.
Lo, these many years, has moved on to greener pastures. Green, I'm glad they're greener.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little send-off for him, and Jake Hartford, his performance was, it was embarrassing.
Was it karaoke or something, or just?
The karaoke was in his head.
Oh.
Which was really strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he not only, I don't even want to talk about the.
don't get into too much detail, but.
Do we want to get into?
It's your show, dude.
Were those pants he was wearing from the 70s, were they? I'm not sure. I mean, we talked about those clothes last week and synthetic fibers stuff, but they were positively glowing. I don't know what it was.
Like it came off of a Vegas, you know, loan shark from...
Well, I don't want, you're right. We shouldn't get too much
into
it. Let's just leave it at that
Greg, but the point was about Greg. You had to say something about Greg.
Well, I had to talk about Jake here, so Greg doesn't have to go digging through the tape now.
Right.
For Jake's show, you know,
when they do
the little bit,
and
I understand they're drawing out the best in people on Saturday, guys who call in and go, I don't like this and that show, but I'll answer the question and do the contest. What was the question again? Huh?
Wise woman once told me that every crazy person owns a television and a radio.
You know,
once
told me that every crazy person has a radio show. All right? That's the way that works.
Explains so much.
Yeah. This just in from Rick DeMaio. The official temp at ORD, that is to say Chicago O'Hare, so far tonight has been, or this morning, 29. The record is still intact, which is 27, set in 1996. Here's a list of stations that have been below freezing or hard freeze criteria since last night. O'Hare, below 32 since midnight, 2 hours of 29 degrees, no hard freeze. Midway, below 32 since 3 a.m., 1 hour of 30 degrees, no hard freeze. The Loop, not below freezing. The lowest temp is 34, so the marathoners are going to be fine.
Be okay.
It's not like their blood vessels are going to freeze.
Right.
Okay?
I feel bad for the people watching, the spectators who are out there to support their friends and loved ones. They're the ones who are going to suffer today.
I know. And
it's like the Starbucks,
and a friend of mine's out there watching her sisters run, and they're going to be, the sisters are going to be fine, and she's going to freeze.
A friend of mine who she's run a few marathons, but she didn't get a training in time enough for this one, but she's volunteering today. She wanted to be involved one way or another, so she's out there volunteering. And I was like, are you crazy? She goes, well, when I saw the forecast, I thought maybe, but I'm going anyway. I was like, good for you.
So back to the report from Rick DeMaio, Aurora Airport, DuPage County Airport, Waukegan, Palwaukee, all have had 10 to 12 hours of sub-freezing temps with 3 to 6 hours of hard freeze criteria met. Rockford broke the record of 26, set in 1906. They've had a low so far of 25. Now, you know, here we are. It's after 8, and this is about the time things start to warm up again.
Oh, it's not going to warm up that much.
No. But you don't start setting records at 8 a.m.
What about people's pumpkins and their plants outside? I'm like, are they a goner or can they still be saved?
You know, depends where they are.
Yeah.
Depends where you are. He writes, most likely growing season is done in many areas, but not in the city. I would think the Morton Arboretum had a hard freeze, including the Botanic Gardens as well. Here are the current temps as of 7 a.m., so we're only an hour behind. Do you want to get can you get the current temps?
Sure, I can.
Get the current temps. But as of 7 a.m., Rockford was 26, Freeport was 26, Rochelle was 25, DeKalb was 26, Peru was 33, O'Hare had 29, Midway 31, and Aurora 25. Doesn't give the lakefront here, but, you know, you got to do your I mean, yeah, on Jake's show, they have these updated all the time. Maybe I'm going to throw that job at you. Now that you're going to be running the radio station.
Yeah, well.
You're starting Monday. You run the radio station, don't you?
Well, not entirely, but I have every intention of getting there.
Oh, be afraid. Be very afraid.
If they're listening now, though, they're like, okay, we're going to write that one down. We have to watch the crazy redhead.
So on the show today, the crazy redhead is here. We've got the world's largest corn maze. When's Ryan? He's on in the first half hour here. In fact, in a few minutes, right? From Richardson Farm, which you can find at richardsonfarm.com. Of course, Rick DeMaio weather at 8:30. We've got Stacy Fingston from No Foam Chicago in the second hour. And John Delk. Oh, by the way, when you were listening to the top of the show, those phone calls, that is art. That's what we call art.
Yes. Performance art.
Performance. Well, I don't know. I just call it art. That is courtesy of John Delk, who is a New York artist who got his M.A. at the Art Institute here in Chicago, the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. He's come back. He's got a show coming up in Chicago. And he's come to me, to this very show, the Mike Novak Show, to come up with the materials he needs for his installation. And we are looking at styrofoam. He needs styrofoam or poly. What do they call it?
Oh, my goodness.
Let me get the perfect, I know I should have this down, but it is what we call is expanded polystyrene or styrofoam. And that's what Stacy's going to talk about, too. She's, Rick? All right, Rick DeMaio's here.
Hold on.
Is he going to correct me? Did I say something wrong? Okay. Let's go to line Q and bring in Rick DeMaio. Are you in the kayak?
No, I'm in the canoe. I got my icebreaker on the canoe, not the kayak.
Oh, there's a big difference.
Yeah,
what did you want to correct? What did I say?
Oh, I'm not correcting anything. I just sent over the 8 o'clock reading. That's all.
Oh,
I heard you reading the 7, so I just figured I'd give you the 8 o'clock.
Well, that's good.
Well, good, because I'm having a hard time finding Chicago weather.
Would you send your link to Heather, please, where you get your stuff from? Or do you have, like, a special...
Just go on to DeMaioWeather.com where it says Chicago map. It's the first link there. And it's got everything right there.
See? It's
yeah,
all there.
RickDeMaioWeather.com. That was where I went.
All you got to do is go to my home page, Heather. Everybody knows that.
It's
right on... I'm just, well,
I haven't
Rockford
had a whole
has,
cup of coffee yet.
And you're going to be running the station now?
Oh, this not
is
this early.
This is not good. O'Hare has 31,
right,
Midway 32, Aurora mm-hmm. still at 29, Lansing 34. What's the cold spot? It is Aurora right now.
Yeah, Aurora is always a cold spot.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of cloudiness moving in from the south and west. That's kind of cut off some of the drop-off in temperatures. But, we'll obviously talk more weather, coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike. But I just wanted to let you, if you have those 8 o'clock readings in case some people were a little bit concerned. That's all.
Of course they are. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you in just a little bit, Rick.
Okay, Mike.
Bye. Rick DeMaio will be here in just a few minutes with the full weather forecast.
He is a devoted meteorologist,
now,
I must
you
say.
You still haven't even found those tips, have you, on his
I'm
website?
Working on it.
Rick, when you call in again, you got to tell Heather exactly where this stuff is. We were talking about No Foam Chicago, which we'll be talking to Stacy Fingston about how she is fighting to eliminate the use of expanded polystyrene styrofoam food packaging in Chicago. She'll be here in the studio. And then we've got the pumpkin guys. The pumpkin off, the way off, which was last week, which we did exactly 20 seconds on.
Right.
On the show last week.
So we're going to fix that today.
So we got
the
winner. Gene McMullen will be on. John Didier from Didier Farms, where they have the big way off.
Apparently, Gene does more than one giant pumpkin contest a year and only submits, though, per one he does, one pumpkin per contest. He only weighs them once, which I thought was very interesting.
Wow.
That's a lot of giant pumpkin.
How many giant pumpkins can you grow?
That's what we're going to find out.
Okay. We'll find out later on. One thing I want to call to your attention. I'm very proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back today because I actually got my Twitter and my Facebook stuff done. And it's like homework for me. Everybody else, I know people who, you know, I had a guy send me, so-and-so sent you a pillow fight. Go away.
Yeah, I don't do those. Go, I'm addicted to Facebook, but I don't do any of those applications.
Those dumb things like, oh, which Beatle are you more like?
Oh, I do that when I'm bored. Those I do when I'm bored.
I'm never that bored. Apparently, there's no way I could possibly be that bored.
No, you would lose your mind if you were bored.
I can't do that.
You're far too busy and creative of an individual. If you were bored, I think you'd implode.
What do they call those?
Applications, apps.
They are apps. That is an app. That's a stupid, but they're just stupid contests.
Yeah, it's they're like, little games and quizzes and stuff.
Which Bronte sister are you like? Whoa! I can't wait to take that one.
I don't know if they know a lot about the Bronte sisters on Facebook, to be totally honest.
I can't wait to take this. I'm Emily. I can't believe it.
Well, they said the Beatle I was most like was John. I don't see it.
There's only four. Okay?
I know. I know.
Jeez.
Two of them are dead.
I'm sorry. You people who do these stupid things on Facebook. I mean, I like communicating with people. That's fine. But don't pillow fight me.
Yeah.
Or the one where they send you, they say, I've just asked you 27 questions and I can't wait to hear all your responses who you are. And now we'll be friends forever and ever. And then send that on to 27 people.
See me?
Are you nuts?
The ones I hate are like the farm and the mob games, like all the games. And then people are soliciting you to be on their farm or be on their team. And, you know, I'm like, mm-mm. Those I hate.
And, you know, Twitter is actually is a little more relaxing because you only got 140 characters. And you don't have any of those stupid games, okay? So, but I got them both out. My homework is to get Twitter and Facebook up. And both of them, I talked about something that happened on my block this week. The tree trimmers came. The Streets and Sand guys. Chicago Streets and Sand. And normally, I would say, you know what? I'd love trees in their natural state. Go to my website, by the way, MikeNowak.net, NOWAK.net, and this week's show. And you can see the whole story. Kathleen's put up this fabulous website, slideshow, rather. She's put up the website, too. And it's pictures of the tree trimmers coming to our block. Now, you think, well, what's a big deal? It's just trimming trees. Yeah, but you know what? I got a couple of gang members on my block. Wow, we got garden questions? Detroit garden question? What's that all about?
His Mark from Detroit has some questions for you.
All right, well, here's what you're going to have to do is call Ryan Richardson.
Okay.
We were going to get him on before 8:30. I don't think it's going to happen. So let's get him on you know, after Rick does the weather. Amtrak Tim and Mark, hold on just 1 second. I'm beeping too.
Oh,
how about that?
You are connected.
I am getting texted. I am so here.
You are. You really are. You tweet, Facebook, you get texts.
My social networking.
My mom can barely handle it with like turning the ringer off on her cell phone.
Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
We'll have to get that. It's my friend at the marathon.
Oh.
Okay. And the message is, where are we here? Dang, it's cold.
Well, at least I can state the obvious. That's good.
But she's not running.
No,
problem.
Right, exactly. I was just thinking, like, if I was a Starbucks, I would pray to be open on that route today. Because everybody's going to be in there getting hot coffee.
Yeah. Oh, Starbucks is going to clean up anyway.
Any coffee house along the
route. But back to the tree trimmers. They come on my block because we have, our buddies on the block are the almighty Imperial Gangstas. And when you got trees and stuff to hide behind, you got to trim them. You got to get the lights out. So they came out this week, and the whole story is up there in this great slideshow. I took a bunch of pictures. And Kathleen and I put this together, and you should take a look at it if you get a chance. It's just another way to deal with gangs in Chicago. Who'd have thunk? who'd have thunk that what you do is you trim the trees? Now, I'm not so naive that I think that's going to take care of everything, solve any problem completely, because you have to work together as neighbors. The police got to get involved. We've had the alderman and the state rep. It's kind of interesting how this has all come together, and I'm actually going to do a show on this. I want to get the state senator, or rather state representative, Luis Arroyo on, because when he got involved, it got kind of interesting. Things started to move. But my kudos to actually the Chicago police as well, who have worked really hard. And, you know, I make fun of the gangs here, those knuckleheads, and they are nimrods, basically, on the show, but I'm not kidding. I live on a game block. What can I tell you? So we're working at it every day. All right, I got a couple of phone calls here. Can't believe it. This early in the show, Amtrak Tim is on the line. Mark, Ben, hold on. We'll start with Amtrak Tim. How are you, Tim?
Doing fine, Mike. I guess my garden's dead.
Well, did it get all frozen last night? Is it looking a little wilty this morning?
Oh, yeah. I have a tent out from a camp out last weekend that the pop, it looks like it's like a frozen popsicle.
Oh, dear. And where are you?
I'm in DuPage.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Sorry to hear that. What did you lose? Anything? Or is it just that it all...
And it's just like the tail end of my tomatoes. They're not much.
Well, you could, you know, if the tomatoes didn't get completely blasted, you know, maybe you can rescue a few of those, bring them indoor, put them on the windowsill.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, get that done. I'm lucky. I got all my tropicals in like 2 days ago. So I saw this coming and went, okay, I'm not losing any more plants the way I have the last 2 years. So I got those in.
Couple things for you. One, some Amtrak news, and I got some gardening questions. Because of all the really high ridership we've had, like over the past year, they're bringing back a position on Amtrak trains, which is the chef on board. That's been all over the Amtrak blogs. Everybody's pretty excited. So the food is going to get even better.
Wow, so the chefs are back!
The chefs are back on the Amtrak.
That's cool.
So all you people who complain about airline food, try something different.
That's great. Yeah, no, I think this is fabulous. Let's get the chefs back on the Amtrak. Let's do it. And let's get the high-speed rail going.
Exactly. I mean, the question I got, and okay, now that my garden is dead, I've got a big old compost pile. What I normally do is I put it in the center of my garden and just let it sit there all winter. Is it better to do that or to kind of work it into the soil and let that sit over the winter?
You could do whatever you want, really. I mean, it's... when you say you put a compost pile in the middle of the yard, you mean, do you do this?
Not middle of the yard, middle of my garden.
Okay. You know, here's the thing about over the winter, compost is not going to
do much.
Right. A compost pile is going to sit there, and it's going to freeze. And then in the spring, when it gets warm again, now, again, it'll do a little bit. Even in the dead of winter, there's a little bit of decomposition, but not so you'd notice. And you could dig it in now, some of that stuff, and let it decompose over the winter in your garden bed, or you could leave it in the pile and spread it out in the spring. I'm not sure that one is better than the other. It's kind of what works for you aesthetically and practically. So I wouldn't worry too much about it either way. You know, there will still be some decomposition going on now until we get a real freeze. I mean, I know some people got a real freeze today, but I mean consistently.
Gotcha.
So that might be a reason to keep it in a pile for a little bit. But once we get to the cold weather, and if you can dig it at all, yeah, you might want to spread it on the yard and then let it break down naturally over the winter.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good talking to you, Tim. Keep me posted on the Amtrak stuff. Send me anything
will.
You got. I appreciate it.
All righty.
All right. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We lost our Detroit caller.
Yeah, Mark.
Mark,
call us back, Mark.
I hope he's listening. Real quickly, let's go to Ben and Joliet. How you doing, Ben?
I feel fine. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, you got a good phone line. What's that phone? What phone are you using there?
A land phone.
No wonder. No, it's just real clean. So, you know,
clear.
When you get a clear signal, you just go, ooh, that's nice. So what's your question?
Here's my problem. My wife, when it comes to gardening, she does every little thing, and she tells me I'm just good for fixing a hole.
Well, that's nice.
She has snowballs that she grew from seeds. that every year have been, you know, big and huge and all that.
Snowballs that she grew. Are you talking about hydrangeas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
She grew them from seed?
Yeah, and she's had them like for 10 years.
Wow.
And, well, here's the problem, though. This year they went half the size. And all summer she was crying, waiting, and hoping for these things to get big. And they never did. And I got to tell you, it don't bother me at all. But but she got upset, and I should have known better for saying that. And
yes, you should have, pal.
You know, she said, I'm a loser. What are you going to do about that? But here's the thing. You need to help me out. What do I do? How do you
apologize is what you do.
It's all too much for me right now.
You know what? Where are they sighted? These are probably, I suspect they're, you say snowballs, I suspect they're Annabelle hydrangeas, which is a hydrangea arborescens is the botanical name. Where are they sighted?
They're in the garden.
Yeah, but are they next to a fence or in the shade? Are they in the sun?
They're in the sun.
They're in the sun. And in past years, they've just gone great guns.
Yeah. Well, this year, a friend of mine told me, he said, if you want to do well growing these things, he told me about a mixture of corn syrup, water, and like a pepper. And if you spray, he told me if you spray that, that would make them grow bigger.
And did you do that?
I did.
And it made them smaller?
Well, they didn't grow.
I'm wondering what?
Tell me why, Mike. You know everything.
I'm trying to figure out what this corn syrup. Give that to me again.
Corn syrup, pepper, and water.
I have no idea.
I told her they didn't get big just because. Because is always.
I don't know if it's the corn syrup, pepper, and water. It sounds like it was some sort of insect treatment. Was that supposed to be a fertilizer of some kind?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Well, I wouldn't use it anymore if I were you. It sounds goofy. My feeling is just see what happens next year. I would trim them back. Does she cut them back at the end of the year or make you do them?
I don't do that stuff.
You're good for digging a hole, right?
Fixing a hole.
Whatever. Does she trim them back?
She does work out. She does all the work out there.
Uh-huh.
I told her, I said, you know what, forget the snowballs this year. How about we just go to Vegas? I'll make it up to you. I'll take you to see that new Circus Delay show, Came Spur Us, and that's not good enough.
You know, you got kind of a familiar voice there, pal. Have I heard you before on the radio someplace?
Have you ever been on the CTA subway system, the Dearborn line?
Yeah.
That would be me.
That's you.
Next stop, Chicago Avenue.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm guessing, that the snowballs are going to be fine next year. Don't put the stuff on them. And if I told you never to call this radio show again, would you listen to that too?
That'd be a challenge.
That would be. I know.
P.S. I love you.
I love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Who is that?
Hartford.
Oh.
Took me a while.
I was like,
I'm used to hearing him, you know, his voice processed through the AM signal.
Exactly.
And I was wondering, the good connection means he must be in the next room, is what I'm thinking.
He's going to show up. And,
Okay.
Oh, good times.
Good, yeah, you got to love it. Well, at least I didn't say anything stupid, huh?
Nope. I was more impressed that he said a snowball and you knew what he was talking about. Because I thought, like, the hostess product. Like, yeah. Susie Q,
yeah,
Twinkie snowball.
My wife grew, you know, and that's why I was amazed she grew them from seed. Nobody grows them from seed.
Oh, really?
As far as I know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, eventually, somewhere along the line,
maybe
they had
she
to
did.
Have
I don't know. Maybe
from
it's
a
possible
seed,
she
right?
Did. Yeah.
It's like, what came first, the hydrangea or the seed?
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's get Rick DeMille, because of course, he's already been on, but he's late here. And meanwhile, here's a disturbing fact, courtesy of Rick Moskowitz at A-Plus Pest Control. Do you know that a mouse needs only a quarter of an inch to get into your house or through a wall? A rat, and this is also entertaining, a rat doesn't need much more. A half inch will do. That's about the size of a quarter. As we head into the cold weather and these pests look for a way into your lives, search your building for space under doors and check lines that come into your walls, like air conditioning tubes. Also look for broken screens and windows, which can be a passkey for rodents. If you're not sure whether you can make the right call, get on the phone and call A-Plus Pest Control. They'll give you free advice and estimates. This is the same company that developed the Plus Natural Enzymes line of insect repellents, which is a product used at Charter One Pavilion on Northerly Isle for the past two seasons. They're green, and they want to prove it to you. Give Rick a call and find out for yourself. Go to APlusPest.com or call toll-free 888-APLUS-99, 888-A-plus-99. Remember, when it comes to pest control, they do it like they live there. And here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As you know, fall weather comes in like a gerbil and goes out like a Tasmanian devil. Have you heard that expression before?
Yes.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting because I just made it up.
I heard it just now.
Oh. The point is that storms can snap tree limbs or even take down a tree. Do you know that the Care of Trees has 24-hour emergency service? The weight of storm-damaged trees is great, and they can be very dangerous to remove or prune. And if they've fallen on cars, other structures, or even other trees, that complicates removal even more. The Care of Trees offers a 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. With nine locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. And the Care of Trees combines that joy with a dedication to the utmost in client care, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. No, I was a run-in. This is dedicated to all those in the marathon and all the people who are out there. I tell you what, if anybody, I can't imagine why. I'm trying to think. If anybody had the headsets on and they were listening to my show while watching their friend run, you call in here, not Jake, but anybody else can call in here and win a prize.
I was going to say, we better give them something good.
We'll give them something good just for doing that.
For getting their green on while they support their friends. That's amazing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Folk there.
Yeah. Like that's going to happen. Like anybody. Let's
go. I'm watching.
Where's... I'm hearing some music and stuff. Or I don't know. We got things leaking through the walls here. Let's go to line one and bring in Rick DeMaio. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Mike and Heather.
Morning, Rick.
So it finally happened, you know, but we didn't get, you sent me this letter, email the other day, going, look out, snow's on the way. Well, what happened to the snow? Because you weren't the only one. There were other people who were saying,
keep the snow away. I hate snow.
I love snow.
I hate
but
snow.
Well,
what
I
happened?
Remember that was Monday and Tuesday when it looked like the system that was going to come through this afternoon, which it still is, was going to be able to get here in time to moisten up the atmosphere and produce some wet snow. But now it appears that it's moving a little bit further north, so there could be some snow maybe north of a line of, like, Dubuque to Madison later on this evening. And, you know, 4 days out, that's not a bad forecast.
Hey, listen, north of a line from Dubuque to Madison, they get snow in July anyway.
So, I don't know about that, but... if you look out the window, there's a bunch of mid and high clouds that are moving through, and that's the leading edge of this plume of moisture that's kind of coming out of the southwest. It's kind of running over this cold air at the surface. So I wouldn't be surprised if the radar begins to lighten up even across the northwest suburbs later on this afternoon and even into the evening. And could even see a couple of, you know, drips of you know, rain mixed with snow, maybe around the Rockford area this evening, but it's not going to stick. So, yeah, I mean, you make the necessary call, and then you alert people to the potential of what could happen, and then when it looks like it may not happen, you kind of pull back a little bit, and that's called analysis and forecasting. And if I didn't do that every day, if I did it every 4 days, I wouldn't be much of a meteorologist, I guess.
Well, it was interesting, though, getting the warning and saying, well, you know, we might have snow, and you're right, we might still see some snowflakes. And we're kind of kind of cooler than normal for this time of year, aren't we?
Oh yeah, Mike. So far, the first 10 days of the month, we're averaging about 6 degrees below normal. And normally when you get, I should say not normally, but typically when you get into these patterns, it just doesn't happen all at once. It's usually a combination of a bunch of things. And it's been three successive passages of cold fronts that have basically been all the way from southern sections of Manitoba and Saskatchewan, basically coming right across Montana and Wyoming, western sections of South Dakota. And you're saying to yourself, well, this is actually pretty cold even for this time of the year. Well, parts of Montana and Wyoming on Tuesday had about 10 to 20 inches of snow in the higher elevation. So when the second cold air mass came through, it wasn't moving across bare ground. It was moving across ground that was cold and had snow. So it was able to travel a little bit further and not be commodified. So then when the second one came through, it made it all the way into eastern Colorado, western sections of Kansas and Nebraska. For instance, when the cold front slipped through Colorado Friday night, people in eastern Colorado woke up to temperatures in the teens. Denver had a high yesterday at 28, when the normal high is 69.
And they're trying to play baseball there right now.
Yeah, well, they obviously canceled the game yesterday, not so much due to snow, but it was basically due to it was just too cold.
Yeah.
And then the third air mass that came through, which was the reinforcing shot yesterday, if you were out and about yesterday afternoon, we had a high of 48. At about the noon or 1 o'clock hour, and then when that front came through, you actually looked up and said, boy, the wind is shifting, and I can actually see the breath coming out of my mouth, because usually about 50 degrees is a good benchmark for when you can see, you know, the condensation of your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And when the temperature started falling, you know, between 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when you're supposed to have the warmer temperatures of the day, that's a true sign of what we call an Arctic air mass. So we cooled off. You know, yesterday, obviously, we didn't break a record over here. We did at Rockford, but now these high clouds coming over the top of us have kind of kept the temperature in check a little bit, particularly to the south of us. So so weather, you know, kind of comes in stages, and then once it comes in stages, it creates, you know, a short-term pattern, and that pattern now looks like it's going to remain kind of, you know, cool and wet for probably the next 5 to 7 days. So the good news, though, is I don't think we're going to see any more freezing temperatures until probably maybe next weekend. So so those people who didn't freeze today are probably not going to freeze for the next week. So.
And we're going to... Oh, jeez.
You didn't turn your ringer off?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I should have.
Oh.
But
you're lucky it's your show.
Why don't you pick that up?
Okay.
All right. It is. I can do anything I want. I can even leave the ringer on. I put it in my pocket so that, you know, people urgently trying to get a hold of me can get a hold of me when they need to. So I was going to ask you, Rick.
I'm going to run down some of the numbers.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, for the question I was going to have is, when are we going to see 70s again?
Well, you can always look on a website.
Oh, gee, that doesn't help.
No, it's amazing, Mike, because, you know, part of the reason when you get into these patterns is something's got to give. Well, first off, there's a real deep trough developing across the northern Rockies, but there's a huge ridge over the southeast. I was talking to my parents the last couple of days, and literally the weather in central Florida has been the warmest it's been in like a month and a half. They've had high temperatures in the mid-90s, 93, 94, so the lower scale of mid-90s, dew point temperatures in the mid-70s from about northern Georgia to southern Florida. Temperatures across the southeast have been about 15 to 18 degrees above average, whereas temperatures across the northern and western Rockies have been about 15 to 20 degrees below average. And that's really the only way you can get extremes, is you have to have usually extremes on either side of the country. So real warm weather down there. In fact, I would not be surprised If there's a weak tropical storm that tries to develop in the Caribbean over the next couple of days, because the pattern is still somewhat, somewhat favorable to tropical storm, development. The only thing is, even if it moves further north, it's going to get sheared apart by the time it gets even close to the mainland. So,
it sounds like, this year, that's been sort of the pattern, if you will, is we keep getting locked into these patterns.
Right. It's been a very stable pattern of being somewhat cooler than average across the northern and western, I shouldn't say the western part, because, Oregon, Washington State had their warmest summers ever in some parts.
Yeah.
But
because we, there was the ridge there and the trough was here in the central and eastern part, and we've had some of the coolest weather, and then the northeast has really had cool weather, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. The cool weather's generally extended pretty much from about the Dakotas over into New England. And then, actually, if you remember, the pattern kind of pushed back north, and we had a real warm, first 3 weeks of September, while the southeast had all that rain. Remember, Atlanta had like between 15 and 20 inches of rain. And what happens is, if you don't really pay attention to the weather too much, that's okay if most people don't. You go, oh, wow, the weather's been so nice here. It must be nice everywhere. And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, it's been raining for 2 weeks down across the south and southeast. And I'm sure the people down in Florida are going, oh, it's so nice here. It's so hot. And then they go, oh, my God, look, it's snowing in parts of Colorado.
Yeah.
Keep it there. I don't want it there. But, I think the pattern is definitely going to lead to a little bit earlier start. And I actually talked about this when I gave my presentation to my snow removal company about 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised if we see an early start to cold and snowy weather here in the Midwest, late October, November, into early December. But I think once El Nino, which is still somewhat in its moderate stage as opposed to weak or strong, once that gets going a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with the second half of winter probably warmer than average. So when people say, how does the winter look? I say, well, you kind of have to break it down into, bookends, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And similar to this summer, we had, pretty much a cool start to the summer. Then we had August, which was pretty nice. And then we had September, which was even nicer. So most people remember things that are bad or wrong in a situation. Usually people will not think of the good things. That's kind of human nature. But really, when you take apart the summer, half of it was cool and wet, and the other half was actually warm and dry. And that's kind of, I think, how the winter is going to be as well.
Well, you know me. I'm a very rational person. I look at the positive things from talking with me for a year and a half. You know that. I'm always on the positive side of these things. And the summer was awful. It was pretty awful, I have to admit. No, it's
okay.
All right. Well, we did go over the temperatures. They probably haven't changed. I've got the 8 o'clocks. Do you want to do a quick rundown?
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about was the difference between a freeze and a hard freeze. And
okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Quickly, a hard freeze is basically when you have temperatures of 28 degrees or lower for 4 consecutive hours. And usually, what happens is not so much the outside of the plant is damaged, but the inside as well. Once the inside gets damaged, you're done, okay? So Aurora actually had 10 hours of 28 degrees or lower. So everywhere west, basically, of the Fox Valley is pretty much in a hard freeze. So there your growing season is basically over. Mums, I think they're pretty hardy. I don't think there's going to be a problem. Heather was talking about pumpkins earlier. Pumpkins, no big deal. And they're just going to get cold on the outside. Places like Western DuPage County had temperatures below 32 degrees since about 11 p.m., but only about 2 or 3 hours of a hard freeze. O'Hara had temperatures below 32 since midnight, but only 2 hours of readings right around 29. So most likely from about I-294 and 94 eastbound into Cook County, through Cook County, probably didn't have a hard freeze. Places like Joliet, down around the southwest suburbs, I know some areas in Will County did have a hard freeze, but most of the far southern suburbs didn't. That's because we had some of this cloud cover. But as I mentioned earlier, and you talked about this, the Morton Arboretum probably did. I wouldn't be surprised if parts of the Botanical Garden did have a hard freeze, only because they seem to be susceptible because they have these, large areas of kind of low-level elevation where some of these flower patches, you know, basically just they just seem to get cold. Not everywhere in the botanical gardens freeze. And then, again, if you live within about probably 5 blocks of Lake Michigan, you were lucky to see temperatures below 35 degrees. And on my balcony here overlooking the lake, I had a 37-degree reading. And oftentimes we forget about all the people who have container pots in high-rises.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a high-rise downtown, most likely you didn't freeze because this cold air is way down there at the surface, and the building itself, the earthen, you know, what I call the heat island, the radiation effect from the building probably kept the pots in good shape. So,
you know, that's a really good point that people don't think about, is that the higher up you are, the better off you are because the hot air rises and cold air sinks.
Right. Not all the time that happens, but I think in a situation like this, it does.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the bottom line is we are all our own best detectives. So,
yeah.
But I think if you didn't get a hard freeze day, the bottom line is we're not going to get one for another week. And I think that's what people really want to know more than anything.
Wow, I can sleep easy now, pal.
Okay.
All right. Well, and no 70s until 2014.
Maybe. But generally in the 50s, much of the rest of the week. We'll see some rain late tomorrow, so if people participate in the Columbus Day Parade may get a little wet. It'll dry out Tuesday, Wednesday. It looks like more rain late Wednesday night into Thursday. So kind of typical late October weather, but a little bit too early for most of us, I think.
Okay, kind of stinky, actually. But I am a positive guy. So Rick DeMaio weather you can find on my website, mikenovak.net. Just click on to Rick, and he's got all this information. At some point, you got to email Heather, Rick, and tell her where to find those temps because she's still searching for them.
Just send her a letter.
He's on every week at 8:30, and we'll talk to you next week, and maybe we'll talk about snow prognosis for Chicago for this winter.
And Mike, just to let you know, most likely I'll be working Channel 2 tomorrow morning. I'll be on from 5 to 9. I'm just doing one show, a quick fill-in, but if anybody wants to remember what I look like, tune in to Channel 2 tomorrow. I'll be on with Roseanne Tejas and Susan Carlson.
Sounds good. They will watch. Bye. All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Where was I? Here I was. It's fall planning time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and this week you'll find savings on everything you need to get your home and garden ready for the season. In addition to savings of 50% off the entire stock of fall and Halloween decor, you'll also find the best selection of fall garden mums and hardy winter pansies. Believe me, those plants can take a little bit of frost, not a problem. You'll also save up to 75% off all remaining nursery stock, and perennials are buy one, get one free. Keep in mind, the ground is still warm. You can get perennials in for next spring. And now is the time to plant spring blooming fall bulbs. You can certainly do that. SIDS has a large selection available in all packaged bulbs, including tulips, daffodils, iris, and more, are buy one, get one 50% off. Remember, when you bring your house plants in from the patio in the next few weeks, don't bring in any bugs or fungus. Pre-treat them with Fertilorm Triple Action Plus. It's an organic insecticide, miticide, and fungicide all in one. SID, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. Don't forget, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs to SID's for recycling. In 60 seconds, we're going out to the farm.
Planning a new home or starting a remodeling project? Let the light flow into every room with style and grace. Marvin Design Gallery by Estates Windows Limited knows that any room's appearance is greatly affected by its windows. Today's discerning homeowner looks for three things in a window purchase: quality, style, and energy savings. At Marvin Design Gallery, you'll find the unmatched quality of all wood frames, over 11,000 standard and custom window designs, plus the energy savings of wood construction and special glass treatments. Now you can see, touch, and operate over 70 window and door displays at their state-of-the-art showroom. Marvin Design Gallery is located in Lake Bluff at 930 North Shore Drive, on the web at marvinbyestates.com, or call 847-615-1003. That's 847-615-1003. Marvin Design Gallery, featuring that distinctive window that fills a room with light to make it something really special.
It's 8:55 on Sunday morning, October 11th, Marathon Day, and bringing onto the show, a guy who's not at the marathon because he's on the farm. It's Ryan Richardson. How you doing, Ryan?
Good morning. Very well. Yourself?
Great. And here's what you need to do, folks. If you can get to my website, MikeNowak.net, that's NOWAK.net, and you click on to this week's show, and then you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see the most amazing maze at the Richardson Farm, which is in Spring Grove, Illinois, not too far away from the city. It's the world's largest corn maze. Now, how do you know, Ryan, that it is the world's largest?
There is a little bit of debate on that particular subject. We were kind of some of the founders that jumped into this business about 10 years ago. This is going to be our ninth year, which this new agritainment, as it's called, is kind of an interesting thing.
Agritainment.
Agritainment.
I
absolutely.
Like that.
Farmers, you know, have to do something different in their land, mostly in these suburban regions like ourselves. See, we're only 60 miles from Chicago. In fact, last night was very clear on the farm, and we have a 50-foot observation tower, and you can see the city lights on a clear night.
Wow.
And if you look the other direction, Milwaukee's 60 miles the other way.
Oh, boy, you just do a little triangle action there, huh?
Yeah, we're right there. But
so you get people from both cities to your farm?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
And from what I understand, and to make how large is this maze?
Well, this one is 28 acres, which is 11.1 miles of trail in it, and so that's where our particular definition of the world's largest is. There is two mazes that I now know of, one in Georgia and one in California, who are larger in acreage, but those are more very basic geometric designs, or, you know, a business logo in the corner and things like that. So the acreage issue is becoming a little more fuzzy as more and more farmers have to figure out a different way to make a living in these suburban applications where traditional farming methods are no longer cost effective.
Well, and you've got the white, the capital in Springfield, you got a picture of Abe, you got the map, you got a tree, or I meant the map of Illinois with Abe standing in front of it with the top hat, you got him sitting on a log, and this is all in one maze.
All in one. That's how we define our world's largest. No one else, comes close to having the length of trail as we do. So now we add a few more adjectives down there and say it's the world's largest, most highly intricate designed. And but that's hard to squeeze on a banner ad.
Don't need to. I mean, all people need to do is take a look at this amazing picture.
It's
here.
A beautiful shot.
And it is a great shot. And from what I understand, you now use GPS on your tractors to make this maze.
That's correct.
This is what we call high tech. When did you graduate to GPS?
We've always used GPS. There's a few different guys out there who use a grid system, and they will actually, you know, stake out the entire field. Obviously, they're not doing 28 acres of it. And they will grid it out that way, which takes a very long time. Our first few years, we used a backpack GPS, which was kind of primitive at the time, and we painted the ground behind us with our path to rototill out the corn. We plant the corn north, south, and then also east, west, so it's very nice and dense.
Well, listen, we're coming up on news here, but I want to let folks know that I've got the link on my website, but it's www.richardsonfarm.com. You've got bring the kids. You got a picnic area, campfires. You're open late every day.
We're open late. Huge night business.
Really? Well, yeah, because you light it up, don't you?
Well, the maze itself is not lit, but all things throughout the entire grounds.
Oh, that's
very
cool.
Large community fires going. There's flashlights and glow sticks, happy people around.
And I gotta let you go, unfortunately, okay. Ryan Richardson, and go to my website, link onto it, and head out to the world's largest corn maze. I believe you when you say that, Ryan. All right.
Nice size. Come on out.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
You're listening to WCPT's Self-Help Sundays. 4 hours of home improvement help for inside and outside your home.
820 WCPT AM Willow Springs. 92.7 WCPT FM Arlington Heights. 92.5 FM WCPY DeKalb. And 99.9 FM WCPQ Park Forest.
Self-Help Sundays on WCPT AM and FM, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
How are you feeding this? Through the router or the aux bus on the switcher?
It's an aux.
Try toggling the input.
Are these times contagious? I've never been this bored. This the prize I've waited for.
Hey, welcome back. It's hour two of the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Here he is, once again, Mike Novak.
Another tribute to the marathoners out there. And when you're running 26-point-something miles, that's a long way to run. Welcome back to the second big hour of the show. Happy to be with you. I'm glad you're with me. Do tell your friends if you enjoy what you hear, if you're a fan of the environment or gardening or things like that, green living. This is the show. We do tend to go afield sometimes. You know, but you can always log on to my website as well, www.mikenovak.net, M-I-K-E-N-O-W-A-K. I always have stuff, especially if you click on to this week's show, you can see what I'm talking about. If you missed the show, it's up there. This week, I've got the slideshow, as I said, of I mentioned earlier in the show, if you just joined us, of the tree trimming on my block, which is connected to controlling gangs. And you might wonder how that works. Click on to that. We've still got the EcoLawn code up there. You can still get 10% off your purchase of EcoLawn till the end of October. So you might want to take advantage of that. I'm going to talk at some point, not this week, but I did some short videos for World Book Encyclopedia for kids. So it was kind of fun. Shot them out in the burbs, and there's a picture of me doing that, et cetera, et cetera. I just I covered the gamut, and you're always welcome to log on and see what I'm up to. And right now, you know what? Ryan, how are you?
Wonderful, yourself.
It's been a long time since we talked.
Absolutely.
I feel like we're old friends now.
We are now.
Yeah.
Coming up to the farm.
You know, sometimes this happens. You get backed up to news and you get a hard break and you go, you know what, I hate to say goodbye. But it was so interesting talking to you. I thought, you know what, let's really finish this conversation and talking about the Richardson Farm, your world's largest maze. And again, folks, it's linked to my website. You can, find it there and the picture is there. We put the picture up on, this week's show.
Excellent.
Oh yeah, you think I do things halfway, pal? Ryan, I am on top of it. If you're on my show, you're on my website. That's the way it works.
Deal. All right.
So you gotta go to MikeNovak.net. And take a look, because I got linked to the farm. I got linked to the world's largest corn maze. Now, you are, from what I understand, a sixth-generation farmer on that land. Is that correct?
That is correct. I am the sixth.
Wow. That's a long time to be doing that. So that dates back to when? When was the farm established?
That was homesteaded in 1840.
Holy smoke!
Yep.
That's got to be one of the oldest farms in Illinois, I would think.
It's right up there. There's a, I've talked to a couple people. Every now and then you find a seventh generation.
Uh-huh.
I went golfing one time with one of the Kettles of Kettle One Vodka, and they're the eighth. I was surprised to learn that, but I've never heard of anyone more than that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what is it that you produce? Obviously corn, because you got a corn maze.
We got the corn maze. Actually, interestingly, the corn maze is actually sterile corn. So it will not pollinate.
And you do that because?
Do that for the ease and use of our customers and patrons. So they will produce a ear, but only the cob, not the kernels. So then if the kids want to pick it or shuck it or toss it, then you just have this light little fluffy thing traveling around, and they can play catch with it all day long without a 7-pound ear of corn accidentally smashing into, some little kid trying to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, you know, you get hit in the chops with an ear of corn, that's not fun.
That's not a good thing.
It's going to leave a mark. In fact, it's going to leave a lot of little marks is what it's going to do.
It certainly will.
Yeah.
So, we do have 400 other acres of traditional crops, corn and soybeans, as well as the other extremely significant portion, the other main portion, of Christmas trees that we have on the farm.
You have Christmas trees on the farm, too. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So as soon as we close the maze on November 1st this year,
mm-hmm.
then we take it all apart real quick, move across the street to the tree farm enterprise, and we set to getting that ready as quickly as possible, and we open that for Cut Your Own Business the day after Thanksgiving.
You got to keep the business going all year round. That's one thing about growing. And I see it on my show, you know, with the people who are, for instance, advertising with the show. It's a, when you look at the, horticultural year, it's very short, in some respects.
Absolutely.
And when do you plant your corn for the, maize?
The corn maize we cut in right around third week of June, right, early July is when we cut the corn maize out. We try to plant the corn maize as late as possible so it stays taller and greener longer and a tougher product.
And is there a specific time you want to cut it? Do you want to get it when it's at a certain height?
Yes, well, that's the other thing. We try to plant as late as possible and then get it available to cut, rototill the corn, that we rototill it out. When it's about 18 inches tall, that makes the nicest trail. That's when the tractors can, you know, beat the stalks back into the ground, chew it up nice. Makes a very nice hard.
Oh, so when you cut it, you're just putting them back into the soil.
Put them back in.
Which is going to add to the fertility of the soil, of course.
Yes.
This particular plot, though, is exclusively devoted to the maize, right?
This one, from our locations now, we're based off the buildings of the complex and things. We can't crop rotate on this particular piece of ground. So this particular piece of ground receives even more attention than the other 400 acres as far as the addition of fertilizers and things back in. Since we've been on the same piece of ground for 160-plus years, we are very aware of how important that ground is, and if we do not take care of that ground, it will not take care of us.
Now, you're speaking about, though, the whole farm and
not the farm on that one.
Yeah, but in terms of the fertility of that plot where you have this maize,
mm-hmm.
do you have more issues or fewer issues in terms of keeping it fertile compared to the rest of the farm?
Compared to the rest of the farm, we probably have slightly more just because that ground is accustomed to getting the same type of crop and root system year after year.
That's what I would think, yeah, because you're planting it over and over and over. You can't rotate because that's the... Now, have you ever thought about doing a maize, growing something different? Is it possible? Let's say, could you do a soybean maize?
We have done soybean mazes in the past. We like to do those for our little kids. Because then the parents can just let the little kids run out there, and you can see all their little heads bobbing out in the soybean. So you can put a pink hat on them, and then you know that yours is a pink hat out there scooting around, and you can just let them go.
That's a good idea. It's one way you take care of them.
You bet.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for stopping back and finishing this conversation. World's largest corn maze out at the Richardson Farm in Spring Grove, Illinois. It's a shooting distance from both Milwaukee and Chicago. You know, on a clear day, you can see both cities from the farm, as you could last night, right?
Yes, definitely. It's a beautiful shot out there. There's lots of happy people. It's a little cold right now, as your meteorologist told us, but we're still out there and we're having a good time.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Does that affect the maze at all at this point when you get a hard freeze?
The maze, no. The maze is fine because it's in the process of turning as it is.
Yeah.
Our pumpkin patch, the mums we have for sale, things like that. It takes a toll on them. So last night we were out there getting everything under cover and tarping the pumpkin patch and doing all we could to help protect those things, as we do have 3 more weeks of season to be open for.
Yeah. Well, as Rick said, we'll probably be at least another week before it freezes. But, so tell me, what else did you sell out there?
We have, as far as other produce out there, we just have the, corn stalks and hay bales and specialty gourds and mums and things. The gourds are actually grandmas. I didn't mention that. I'm the 6th generation, but also grandma and grandpa are still around, and they are the 4th. So currently the farm is owned and operated by the 4th, 5th, and 6th generations.
You got all that. Going back to 1840.
You bet.
Ryan, I appreciate it, and have fun with the in the fall. Fall's a great time, and take the family, take the kids, go see the world's largest corn maze, and I hope I can get out there and see it as well.
If you can't make it out for that, make sure you come out for Christmas trees, and we've wreaths and roping and hot chocolate and donuts and wagon rides for everybody.
Yee-hee! So
if you can't make it for one, come for the other.
And we shall. Thanks, Ryan. Take care. Have a great one now.
Thank you. You too.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got still lots going on. In fact, in the studio right now, Stacy is here. You made it on mass transportation.
I did,
I told you it would be tricky.
I sent Sanders out to go fetch her.
You had, Sanders went to get her?
In the CPT van.
Cool.
Because that's just way too cold to be huffing it 6 blocks.
It was. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a healthy glow on my cheeks now, but that's what happens when you bring a North Side girl down to the South Side.
I'm telling you, they have their ways here on the South Side, and
why we sent her in the radio. We sent Mike in the radio van.
On the Archer bus, we got hit by a freight train. Well, not hit by a freight train, but we have her stopped by a freight train. So
you didn't get hit.
Everything
by it.
Possible happened today, this morning.
Yeah,
so, but I'm here.
You know, this is when people come to the studio here. It's a challenge.
It is.
I want them.
They're devoted people that come to you, Mike,
are.
Mr. Novak.
They are. And, to get down here, you got to work it. And Stacy Fingston did, and she's with No Foam Chicago. We're going to talk to her in just a second about expanded polystyrene, and we'll get to John Delk as well. I don't know if you saw on the website. You probably don't know anything of this that's going on, do you, Stacy?
I have no idea what's going on today. It's a surprise.
I know. Surprise! All right. Since 1997, WRD Environmental has been creating healthy, sustainable landscapes that are both beautiful and responsible to future generations. You could say WRD is in the business of transformation. Sometimes it's through projects like the Lincoln Park South Pond, for which WRD is part of a team that is turning the zoo's popular pond into a model for sustainable landscape solutions, habitat restoration, and environmental learning. Other times, it's through leadership in organizations like the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association, which is working to green up the landscape industry so that sustainable design materials and methods are the professional standard. Sometimes the transformations are people themselves. WRD is a partner with the Chicago Department of the Environment in managing Green Core Chicago, which provides job training in the green industry, electronics recycling, and home weatherization. For innovative, sustainable transformations, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com. Now, wait, that wasn't right. There we are. I'm just keeping track where I am. I'm doing this on the fly, of course, as I always do. Let me give you a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that in 2009, the Care of Trees was recognized for the fifth year as a company that cares? This year, 37 organizations were named nationwide. Honor roll recipients are selected for their deep commitment to elevating the quality of the work environment for their employees and the quality of life for people in the broader community. And that honor roll is selected by an independent panel of veteran professionals in a variety of industries. All I've got to tell you is that I've been working with Care of Trees now for a year and a half on this show. What great people. And I'm not surprised that they were recognized as a company that cares. They are on top of it. Some of the nicest, most conscientious people you'll ever meet. And this is why you need to hire them to come out to take a look at your trees. They've got 9 locations, and the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. All right, I was going to do, we're doing a little CD roulette here. I have no idea what song's coming up. Shall we roll?
I'm up for an adventure if you are.
All right, here we go.
Ooh.
I like it already. This is your CD, isn't it?
Yes, this is Buckwheat Zydeco.
Okay, cool. Oh, my goodness.
Is that the irony of the day? Well, that was all I had to bring her. The poor thing's freezing
the
from being outside.
The irony of the day is that we've got Stacy. Well, okay, this is a great way to start. Not with Zydeco so much as your embarrassment, Heather.
Well, you gotta play the cards you're dealt.
You know, you do. Stacy Fingston comes in here, and she's from No Foam Chicago, which is dedicated to the eliminating the use of expanded polystyrene. You know it as Styrofoam. That is the trade name that Dow Chemical came up with, and it's like Kleenex. Everybody uses the same name. They call it Styrofoam. But it's really expanded polystyrene. Now, what happens?
She's out trapped in the cold, and I offered her a glass of tea when she came in because she was cold.
And what did you put it in?
A Styrofoam cup.
Now.
Which I had asked her.
She did. She asked if we had a mug, and I was like, no.
Yes.
They locked the cupboard. There's just.
Did they really?
I asked her if I could get this replaced with a mug, a reusable mug.
And are you kidding
me? No,
you mean
all I have. Uh-huh. So I'm currently.
I want to know why the cupboard is locked, first of all.
Things grow legs and walk. It's the only way to protect them.
So you do have real, like, ceramic mugs?
Yeah, I think everybody has their own personal
use
mug. I'll find out more starting tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Now, by the way,
what I have accessible to me at this very moment is what's in your hand, which is the irony of the day.
And who do I need to talk to get you guys some, at least paper hot cups if you need to use it?
That'll be my job come Monday,
job.
I believe.
That's her job. She's going to be
the new office manager starting tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be checking up with you in about 2 weeks.
Hey, I want to. They're going to hate me in so many ways and like me
well,
in so
know,
many
the
other
thing,
ways.
And I'll tell you, this is.
They put that in the recycling bin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
I'll follow up. I'll give you a couple of weeks to get used to the position, and then I'll be following up to make sure you've got.
Wait. You're going to have to get in line, though, lady. Okay?
I'm in high demand for change.
No. I'm serious because they started doing recycling here in the last year. All right. And you should see the garbage that gets put into the bins. Here, I'm sorry, you folks working at Chicago Progressive Talk, you're clueless. You're clueless about what goes into recycling containers.
I'll give them an A for effort.
Because they put a blue bin out in the hallway? That's not trying.
No, but you got to make
sure
it's filled and actually.
That's just putting a blue bin in the hall.
And put
all right?
And collect by the recycling people.
You don't put polystyrene into a blue bin. You don't put styrofoam into a blue bin. You don't put your garbage in there. You don't put your paper wrappers that you got from McDonald's that are contaminated with food. You don't do that.
Is it labeled? I mean, do you have illustrations?
No.
But that's part of the problem, too. And I'm sure this is not the only company.
You have to make it simple. No. You have to make it very simple
that is
for
why
user friendly.
This is where we fall down on recycling because we don't educate the people. You have to make it like you're a four-year-old or like the people you're addressing are four-year-olds, because otherwise they're clueless. Now, that says something about America, too, that we've gone this far into the age of recycling and we have still don't have an idea of what we can put in there, or we don't care.
Well, it keeps fluxing because some communities, I'm lucky to be in a very pro-recycling community where they've expanded what they accept. So they take steel cans, they take treated magazines, they take those little the juice boxes, like those cardboard, but they've got that plastic.
Mm-hmm.
What is
resin?
That?
Hey, listen, they do that in Chicago.
Like a resin.
Right.
That's in Chicago. You can take that, you can put it in your blue cart, or you can take it to a drop-off site. Here's part of the problem with that. Not everybody's got a blue cart.
Right. Not everyone knows where drop-off sites are.
Mm-hmm. Right. And not everyone, and the other thing they do, and I've talked about it on the show repeatedly, is that they take their recyclables, they put it in a blue bag, plastic bag, and then they throw the whole thing in there, and you can't recycle that blue plastic bag.
Since starting with you in this program, like if I see like someone with like one of those, you know, plastic grocery bags in the recycling bin, I'm like hanging upside down, like pulling them out. So like, this is going to ruin the whole recycling process. You don't understand. People think I'm crazy, and I'm like, you know, Dominic's and jewel bags. I'm like pulling them out of them.
But it does take us really right to the heart of the matter, which is, it's nothing is a snap. Nothing is a piece of cake, so to speak. And you can't put pieces of cake in your recycling either. And that's why Stacy Fingston is here. We met at Uncommon Ground Restaurant. It was a green room session that they have. And you've heard Uncommon Ground on the show. And Dick Kay broadcast from there last week for the solar tour. And Stacy's with No Foam Chicago. There's a link on my website, this week's show, to No Foam. Also, to a TV report you did on CBS 2 Chicago.
Oh, wow. You have that on there as well?
Oh, I put it all up there. And the article in the Trib.
Excellent.
I put that
up
there. And I was amazed that CBS 2, they led their newscast with you.
I was surprised. I really was surprised.
Well,
it was great.
Yeah, it is. It got you a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about the origin of No Foam? How long have you been around and what you're trying to do?
Well, we haven't been around that long. We started this winter, in the dead of winter in February. And it's a group of friends. Actually, I had the idea. Polystyrene expanded foam has been a nuisance or a pet peeve of mine. And, you know, I started talking to a few girlfriends, and they said, hey, yes, let's, you know, try to make Chicago a little greener. Let's get it out. And so we started over a bottle of wine in my kitchen table and started talking.
Some of the best things happen over a bottle of wine.
Yeah, it's exactly. There were about five of us. And so we thought, okay, we had an agenda to ban polystyrene expanded foam, and but really what hit the button, hit really pushed the buttons, is when we found out that our Chicago public schools are the children are eating off polystyrene foam trays, and about approximately 400,000 a day are going into the landfill. So when we heard that was emergency button. And not only alarming environmentally that our landfills are going to be, you know, are being filled up with an alarming rate, you know, 2 million close a week, but the health issue. The kids eating off a bed of toxic chemicals, basically.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of issues here, and one of which is the chemicals that come off of those. Now, are those polystyrene trays, they're not heated, but the food is. Is that the point?
Or yes, when hot food comes in contact, or, you know, this morning hot tea comes in contact with my styrofoam cup that I'm currently drinking out of.
So why are you drinking that? If you know that you're ingesting chemicals.
I have nothing else. I would have to put it in my hands. I have, you know, I'm glued to this mic right now. So
But that's an important point. I mean, how serious a problem are we talking about, and how much are we talking about in terms of release of chemicals? Probably minute amounts.
I think we're probably talking at minute amounts, but over time, you know, usage mm-hmm. over time, I think, is what we're talking about. You know,
yeah.
And it's very similar to smoking, because polystyrene, styrene is the main chemical in polystyrene foam, and styrene's in cigarette smoke. And it's been labeled, you know, by the EPA as a carcinogen and also a neurotoxin. So accumulation over time, I think, is what we're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And so your five-year-old's starting to eat off of those trays at such an early age, and that's a concern, you know, build up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Also, there's, you know, systems are, you know, a lot more vulnerable than our systems are, you know, as adults.
Well, that is true. One of the things you got to take into account, and this is the same with chemicals that you put on your lawn,
mm-hmm.
And in your garden, is that children's systems absorb these chemicals much more readily
Absolutely.
Than adults.
Absolutely.
So even if, and I've read some of the arguments by the manufacturers of polystyrene. First of all, they claim that it's kind of interesting the way they word it. It's kind of a dodgy way. It's like you said that there are 37 chemicals that are released. How many?
57.
And they
yeah,
said, well,
research,
well, it's not all 57 or something like that. And you go, well, which ones? You know, I want to know which ones if you're going to tell me that. Wait a second. Hold on. Because I know I've got, here it is, because I put it on my other computer here. Which is one of the things. The chemical release is one. And, all right, here we are. Doo-doo. And the other, of course, is the recycling issue of that. And we all know about polystyrene, and it's...
never goes anywhere. It'll be around for 500,000 years.
But it does break down.
Oh, eventually. Yeah, someday.
I mean, and then, of course, the manufacturers say it's 100% recyclable.
Well, technically it is, but we don't have any of the capabilities here in Illinois.
That's an issue.
I do know there are some in California, but like with food packaging, what is our main issue is it can't be recyclable. It's recycled into, you know, a styrofoam cup again. It's not closed loop, whereas, you know, like recyclable fiber or paper can be. When this is recycled, it's actually more like reused. It'll go into, like, peanuts for packing.
Right, packing.
Yeah.
That's all it can really do is go into peanuts for packing. But food packaging really can't do anything with it because it's dirty. You know, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So it gets smashed down either for, you know, insulation or packing peanuts, but it can never go back. So in order to go back to a styrofoam cup again, you have to remake it and put all those chemicals back into the environment and all the energy used again to go back for a cup. So to me, that's not recycling.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is that you can't, we don't have, as you said, the facilities.
We don't.
I went to Earth 911, and they've got, it's a great website, earth911.com, and they had a couple articles about polystyrene and EPS, and you can click on their search engine to find out where in this area you can recycle both. Well, your options are slim and none, basically.
Yes.
There's two places in Illinois. There were five, I think, in Indiana, and then the closest one after that was Denver. And are you kidding me? You know, it's that's the argument that really doesn't hold water with me.
It doesn't.
In the recycling.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe it is
100%. Technically, it is. But it's hard to do, and it's expensive, and there's few facilities available even nationwide to do it.
And, by the way, we're talking to Stacy Fingston, who is with No Foam Chicago. You can find out about her organization, basically, if you go to www.nofoamchicago.com. NOFOAMChicago.org, and you can find out what they're up to in trying to get polystyrene, expanded polystyrene, out of our schools. And you mentioned, so let's take a look at the Chicago Public Schools. How many trays are used?
Approximately 400,000 a day. I think they've refuted that and said, you know, well, it's technically 356,000 a day, and you know, but if you round it, but I'd like to think it's a little more even, because there's also, that's the lunch program we're talking about, and I know there are, you know, children in the federal lunch program, you know, that also are doing breakfast in the morning, and that, you know, that donut is on a styrofoam tray, and then some may even be doing the early dinner program. So I would like to even, you know, guesstimate it's even over 400,000 a day.
Well, and the point, let's say that, again, go back to the argument that you could actually recycle mm-hmm. this stuff. The Chicago Public Schools would have to buy one of those machines, as is in the Trib article that I linked there. And this group bought one of these machines.
I think it was a military academy in Des Plaines, was it?
I don't think it's a military academy. I think it, let's see, it is, well, maybe you're right. It's the Maryville Academy. I don't know, if, is that a military academy? I don't know. But they bought a machine, and what's it cost? $15,000 or something like that?
I think it's higher than that. And they may even be renting it.
It says, Maryville, contacted DART, which is a Michigan-based company that makes polystyrene products, about to participate in their foam recycling program. Maryville will lease the foam densifier for $100 a month for the first year and $295 thereafter. So the price actually goes up afterward. That's odd. And then DART will pick up the densified foam once a month and sell it to companies that recycle polystyrene as part of the program. But this is one in the whole state of Illinois, one site.
And then they have to ship it to California. To be recycled.
Well, DART's based in Michigan. They're going to ship it to California.
Facilities in California. From what I heard.
Is that where it's, okay.
From what I heard, they then have to ship it to California. DART has companies in California as well.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And they're working hard in California because there's a statewide ban on polystyrene that's being considered right now. And, of course, they don't want to lose that business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my feeling is if you can recycle it, that'd be nice. It's already done its damage. It's floating around in the great garbage patch in the Pacific Gyre.
Isn't that an awful video? Have you seen the video on it?
I haven't seen the latest video on it. I know about
it. Heart-wrenching. It really is heart-wrenching.
I'm trying to get a woman who's been out there on one of the scientific researches. I've made a connection, and I'm hoping she'll come on the show soon. But, I mean, that's one of the things that's happening.
Mm-hmm. And polystyrene floats because it's 95% air.
Right. It is 95% air, which is one of the reasons it's so hard to get rid of. If we're going to address this, obviously it's, an organization as large as Chicago Public Schools would have to get one of those machines. It would seem to me it makes sense to use one of those. But given the budget crunch, do you think that's going to happen? I kind of wonder.
I don't know if the machine is, the right solution. I think that, with so many different alternatives that we have, I think.
What would be the alternatives?
Well, one of the easiest things would be bring the dishwashers back. You know, where the dishwashers go.
Mm-hmm.
I know not every school is capable. It'd probably be individual, depending on the school. I know not every school can bring back the dishwasher or the dishwashers. But that would be a good place to start. I do know that, the new public schools that are being built in Chicago are being built with dish rooms.
Really?
So that is really good. That's really good.
So wait. So we're going back to,
old school.
19th century technology, for our schools. And it seems that here's an interesting thing. I talked to Mike Mitchell at the Illinois Recycling Association the other day, and I asked him point blank about recycling polystyrene. He says, well, it's really hard to do. And in the scheme of things, there's not much you can do about it at the point. And it's the kind of cul-de-sac that we've gotten ourselves into as a society by relying on these products.
Short-term, throwaway, cheap. Yeah.
And now we're paying the price for that.
We are. And what are we teaching our children? They're finding out, they're hearing in science class that, styrofoam is bad for the environment, it's bad for them, and then they go to lunch and they're eating off of it.
Here's another thing. You go to a supermarket, your meat cut is going to be put on polystyrene.
It is.
And what we've started doing is going to supermarkets, and we'll go to the butcher or to the seafood person and say, could you put that on paper, please? And a lot of times they'll weigh it on the polystyrene and then remove the polystyrene and put it on the paper. And we say, no, don't do that. That defeats the whole purpose.
Exactly.
Because they're going to throw that away. Mm-hmm. Although one guy said, nah, I'm just going to use it again. But,
But that's the right approach. That is the right approach because, as consumers, we have power. And, you know, like Mike has been doing in the grocery stores, we can be doing that at our local restaurants. And,
I do too. If I get polystyrene containers, I go, why don't you guys have something different? You know, why don't you have cardboard or, or something else?
And I do know some
of those aluminum bases that you put the little.
That's the basic. And, and let's go back to that. And that's, you know, relatively, you know, a cheap alternative. But one alternative I did hear for public schools, actually this week, through a supplier, Eco Products in Denver, that I've been talking to, they're currently shipping me samples. He just told me that the Milwaukee Public Schools have gotten rid of their styrofoam trays and have replaced it with a 100% recycled fiber tray. So next week my job is to get a hold of someone at Milwaukee Public Schools and find out the numbers for that and, you know, how well that program is working.
Okay, here's the problem there, and it never ends, Stacy, and that's kind of why we're here and we talk about these things. If you go to today's Chicago Tribune, and you can find this story on my website, because I got interviewed for this. I am, of course, president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition, which some people know, and you should know. If you go on my website on the homepage and go to Mike in the News, there is a story that's in today's Chicago Tribune about the restaurant at the Chicago Botanic Garden. And they have gotten all this. They asked their members and the people who use the restaurant there to separate the cups and plates from the leftover food so they can recycle it. Turns out they're not recycling. That there it was going into all going in the same place, the landfill. And part of the problem is it's hard to recycle this stuff. When you get these trays you're talking about that are organic, and I'm using air quotes right now here in the studio, and they are, but that doesn't mean they necessarily break down quickly.
You mean the ones that are compostable?
Compostable plates and the compostable silverware or flatware, if
we
they
don't
call
have
it.
The current facilities for that yet in Chicago,
no.
But we're working on it. We're working on it. And hopefully the time we're done with, you know, our ban goes in place, we'll have composting up and running here.
And I'm not dumping on the Chicago Botanic Garden. In fact, it was kind of interesting when the guy interviewed me for this article, John Byrne, he wouldn't tell me which restaurant it was. You know, it was almost a hypothetical. It's like, what do you feel about using this stuff? I said, well, why don't they just use silverware and wash it?
He said,
well, they don't have the facilities. Well, how did we get down that road?
Exactly.
That we can't use real silverware and wash real plates and put them back in.
It's a rare occurrence these days. And I would like to go back to that. I would like the schools to go back to that, and the schools that can't, you know, let them use the recyclable fiber trays, but
All I'm saying is that even when you go to a different material, you're going to have problems
there.
I mean, it's a tough question, and
it is.
And what's your next action with No Foam Chicago?
Our next action is we're working on the draft of the ordinance to ban polystyrene expanded foam food packaging. That is. And then we'll start talking with aldermen. We're going to start this next month getting our co-sponsors together.
Well, you can find out more about that information. I want you to stick around here for a second because I think you might find this interesting as well, Stacy. But you can go to nofoamchicago.org or you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show and find the link. And Kathleen, if you're watching, for some reason Stacy's picture is not showing up. I don't know why. I can't get it to load here.
You put my picture on your website?
Of course. I'm telling you, we do full service here.
Wow.
Now, the guy's picture,
I'm impressed.
The guy I don't have is John Dank, who's right here.
Delk.
On, I'm sorry, Delk. Why did I say Dank? Sorry. Delk. Thank you, Heather.
That's why I'm your producer, baby.
I know. That's why you're here. You keep me on the straight and narrow. Mm. Hey, John, how are you?
Good.
I'm so sorry for getting your last name wrong. John Delk, which I have right on my website, and he's an artist who's based in New York but studied at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. And you've got a show coming up at the Thomas Robertello Gallery in Chicago, and it's called Stream. You want to tell me about Stream?
The show is basically, I'm interested in a lot of stuff, but this show is sort of focused on data and information and material that just sort of comes at us in waves and avalanches with, you know, the internet and all of this, a kind of bombardment of information and that sense of being just overwhelmed by, you know, all these problems like you're talking about right now. This is one of a million that we're kind of faced with right now.
And so in this case, you're collecting some polystyrene forms, expanded polystyrene forms, to use as an art piece in this show.
Yes. I've actually made one of these in my studio here in Brooklyn. And from these molded forms that I've collected over some period from the streets, and I wrote you because I was going to ship this to Chicago, and then I thought, well, that's like a double waste of time and energy and money and everything else. I'm going to ship my garbage from New York to Chicago when I'm sure I know you all have mountains of molded there.
We do.
Well, we're starting.
I'm giving it away as teacups. Whatever
right.
you want, we can get it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now that Heather and I both have bags in our basement of polystyrene forms because neither of us is willing to throw them into a landfill.
Right.
And so you're going to get mine, you're going to get hers. And here's what I'm doing. I'm putting the word out to folks listening. If you got polystyrene forms, you know, what you pack your computers with and other electronics, and you don't know what to do with them, John Delk can use them for his artwork, for his show coming up at the Robertello Gallery.
Yeah. And I spoke to Tom, and actually the forms can be dropped off at the gallery during regular hours. And as we spoke about, then they will be recycled. I just need to be told, you know, how and where to do this, because as you guys are discussing, it's, like, hard to find places to do this. And I spoke to someone at the Ecology Action Center in, I think, Norman, and he said that they're, you know, very conscious and they're trying to recycle everything, but they can't recycle this stuff because, you know, by the time they load up a truck and drive it 200 miles, you know, they're defeating the whole purpose.
Exactly. This is why, and they tell you, and you go on these sites and they say, well, you can mail it. I'm thinking, how big a box are you going to actually put on a UPS truck that's going to hold all this? And you know, Stacy, we're not talking about the kind of stuff that you're talking about because you're looking at trays, but I'm looking at these huge
transport packaging.
Yeah, all these huge forms.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'll tell you what, John, you're going to get some of mine.
Yeah,
you get some of Heather's. I don't know if you have any, Stacy, but
I'm sure I can find some.
But if you want to. Drop it. Do me a favor. If you're interested in helping out John, write to me first, and I'll tell you whether we have enough. And if you can go to the my website, mikenovak.net, and this week's show. Oh, there's Stacy's picture. Kathleen must have just made it work. Okay. Okay, hold on a second. I want to bring somebody else into the conversation real quick, and that is David. Are you calling from Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I am, Mike.
How are you?
I'm great. I grew up in Homewood. My family lives down in the south suburbs, Chicago Heights, Homewood, and just wanted to relay a little quick story. When my wife and I were moving back here from Washington, D.C., moving back to Madison, in 99, I was looking around to make sure that we weren't going to buy a house near a toxic waste dump type thing, and came across a company in just to the west of Madison that was putting out about 300,000 pounds of methylene chloride, which is a carcinogenic solvent that was being used to puff up foam, like expanded polystyrene, and this is for auto seats and things like that. And the fugitive emissions from that plant popped Dane County, the county that Madison's in, into the top 10% of all counties for lung cancer risks in the country. And it was this one facility. And what I thought was interesting, not only that it was causing, you know, a very real potential health threat, but that the solution maintained jobs and maintained the facility, and it was to substitute carbon dioxide for methylene chloride, the toxic chemical. And I thought that folks should know that, you know, this isn't about creating hardships. This is about easily substitutable products and solvable things that I'm really pleased that your guests are working on.
Well, and I appreciate you calling
and
giving us that information as well. It's only when people... Whoa, did we lose him?
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, hello? David, you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
John, are you there? John, we lost.
We lost our other guy.
All right, we lost our other guest. Okay. I think he's calling back. Maybe you should get him on there. But it's only when we take action that we can get these things resolved. And it's just frustrating to me because people ask me all the time, where can I recycle this? And it's not easy. You got to jump through hoops of fire.
Easy.
And on top of that, as you say, there are chemicals released. Now, David, there are chemicals released in the manufacture of almost anything.
Yes.
Right. And we have to figure out ways to minimize that. I mean, you know, whether you're making paper, it's just a really toxic stew that comes out of paper factories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I would mention, though, that there are, you know, you remove the chlorine from the bleaching process and you remove, you know, half the super toxic, persistent, bioaccumulative things that you know, move up the food web into the fish and into us. It's solvable problems. The issue isn't necessarily technology. It's a political will that has been shaped by a hemorrhage of funding from polluters and their allies to decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this isn't about technology. We have the technology. We know what to do. Yet we're still, for example, permitting 2,000 pounds of PCBs a year to Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about getting the political will. And what you're doing, Mike, is super critical, and what your guest is doing is going out there and changing that political reality. So people say, hey, when I have a pure white paper or I have a expanded styrene cup, that, gosh, I should think malignant melanoma and sarcoma rather than, gee, this tastes good. And so it's a matter, and I don't mean to be so blunt, but basically that's what it is.
You're absolutely right, because I say the same thing to people when I do talks about lawn products and weed and feed on their lawn, and I say, to me, it boils down to, do I want my kid to get sick, or do I want to have a lawn that looks like a golf course? You can boil these things down. Yes, it's simplistic, but sometimes that's the only way you can get your message across.
Well, with the explosion of childhood nerve cancers and brain cancers and some real associations, for example, with these chemicals used in the polystyrene or lawn chemicals, those relationships are becoming clearer. Yet I'll pop off. The main thing is for these companies to spend money to create doubt and confusion. Well, I'm not everything causes cancer, or I'm just getting a little bit. The bottom line is this stuff shouldn't be in our air, food, and water, and we
absolutely
can make decisions based on that.
Yeah. Excellent point, David. I'm so glad you were listening, and I hope you continue to listen and contribute to the show, all right? Oh, and now what is going on here? We're losing people left and right, and I didn't need to do anything.
I wanted to ask about the tray situation. I heard part of the conversation, and what about, like, corn husks and banana leaves and as far as disposable biodegradable methods? And also, what about having kids bring their trays every day if they, you know, like, they bring their notebooks to school?
Well, I'll tell you
like
what, John, you got to hang on for a second. We
somebody.
No. We were going to have a couple more guests on the show. It ain't going to happen. We're going to do them next week, okay? We'll talk.
Okay.
Give Gene McMullen from the Giant Pumpkin. He's the winner of the Giant Pumpkin. This is, you know, too important a phone call for topic right now. And I need to get do a little business here. We are also going to talk to John Didier at Didier Farms, where they have the Giant Pumpkin contest. Tell you what, we will do that next week. So you guys, Heather's going to give you a holler. John Delk, you you hang on, and Stacy Fingston, hang on here in the studio, and we'll be right back with both of you. Now, it's fall planting time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and this week you'll find savings on everything you need to get your home and garden ready for the season. In addition to savings of 50% off their entire stock of fall and Halloween decor, you'll also find the best selection of fall garden mums and hardy winter pansies. You'll also save up to 75% of all remaining nursery stock. And perennials are buy one, get one free. Now is the time to plant spring blooming fall bulbs. SIDS has a huge selection available, and all packaged bulbs, including tulips, daffodils, iris, and more, are buy one, get one 50% off. Remember, when you bring your houseplants in from the patio, well, you might, you probably should have done it last night if you live in the outlying areas. If you're in the city when you do that, and you better do it real soon, don't bring in any bugs or fungus. Pre-treat them with Fertilome Triple Action Plus. It's an organic insecticide, miticide, and fungicide all in one. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And you'll like this, Stacy. Here's the best part. Don't forget, when you're done planting, bring your plastic pots and cell packs to SIDS for recycling. And I'm really glad they do that. And one of the interesting things is that they take number six, which is polystyrene, which it's strange, but in the horticultural world, you can recycle that. Now, of course, it's not the air blown. It's not the 95% air styrofoam. It's a different kind of number six.
The little plastic black cups.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Very thin plastic.
And that's the kind of thing that you can recycle in that business, but you can't in terms of the average person. For instance, I guess you can. You can put, by the way, in the Chicago blue carton, and I would guess a lot of the suburban, as long as a plastic pot has a recycling code on it, you know, you can throw it in there if it's the right number. And basically, the only numbers they don't take are number six.
Yeah, six and seven, right? It's
well,
one through five.
I think you can take seven.
Have you?
You can take
you?
Seven in Chicago, definitely.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Conserve energy. Save money. Think CETA. Tip 1. Clean or replace furnace, air conditioner, and heat pump filters every few months. Tip 2. Encourage family members to turn off the lights when rooms are unoccupied. Put reminders next to light switches. You may be eligible through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act for home weatherization at no cost to you. For more information, call CETA at 1-800-571-CEDA or visit CETAorg.net.
The September-October issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over Chicago, and there's a lot of good reading in it. For instance, do you know what a sedge is and why you might want to have some in your garden? You'll find out in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. And I'm sure you know what a tulip is, but do you know what a species tulip is and why you might want to plant those in your yard? And who is the king of floral design? Well, he may be the guy working in Winnetka. Or perhaps you've thought about planting winter cover crops to increase your soil's fertility but didn't know where to start. There's still time. Pick up the magazine and find out how. Of course, there are regular features like what to do in the garden, your gardening questions, and the regional reports. It's called Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, but it's really about the Midwest. And now you can find it all over Chicagoland. In fact, more than 800 new newsstand locations have been added in the last couple of months. And you can pick up a copy today, or better yet, subscribe. Find it on the web at chicagolandgardening.com, or give the office a call during business hours at 866-806-1498. Tell them that Mike sent you. You know, and just when you think you're ready to play the music to get you back in the next segment, of course, the whole thing just goes to sleep. It's not supposed to go to sleep on me here. Boy, it's... CD player. My CD player at home never goes to sleep.
Oh,
all right, we just got to have a couple of minutes left here in the studio. Stacy Fingston from No Foam Chicago, and on the phone, John Delk, who's an artist who's doing his show stream at the Thomas Roberto Gallery, Robertello Gallery, sorry, in Chicago. It starts October 23rd. Now, let me get something straight about bringing in the polystyrene for John. Write to me first if you're going to do this. So let's not just, you know, inundate him with the stuff. And I can tell you, write first, and I'll let you know whether we have enough. John, you'll keep in touch with me on that, right?
Yeah, that's great. That would be great.
Because you're going to come into town next week, a week from Monday or so, and
right,
pick
exactly
up the stuff.
I just have one styrofoam tip for those of people who, if they get too much or they can't bring it in. One way I've reused it is I take the packing styrofoam and I break it down and I use it to store my Christmas ornaments seasonally, because the glass bulbs. So it's one way that you can sort of implement it.
Well,
into
the idea,
your home.
If you can reuse it, it's the best thing you can do right at this point, because the stuff's already been made.
Well, I bought like a crock pot or something and it had the big frameware styrofoam thing. So I just broke that into little pieces and I put it in the bin. And
you have to be creative. Mm-hmm. We have to be innovative. That's what
as
we have to
John
do.
John can duly shows us.
But one thing I made him promise is when his installation was down, he was going to recycle it.
And
of course, now I got to find out where we can recycle it here. So it's
that's what I told you. I'm like, that's a great idea. Tell me where to take it.
And it never stops. It never ends.
It's a vicious cycle.
It is. I mean, I'm trying to say, okay, let's make sure we don't have all this polystyrene floating around. Well, now it's back on my shoulders. I got to get rid of this stuff.
You're going to get a bigger bag in your basement. Everyone's going to bring it to your house.
But soon we will be done with it. I actually just got a box shipped to me of transport packaging made out of cornstarch.
Well, yeah, you have some of that stuff that breaks
down. And it's really great packaging material, and it's actually being made here in Chicago on the South Side.
With our friends over at Big Green Rabbit, when they sent us some CDs and music, it was the same thing. It was 100% biodegradable. It was a responsible forestry initiative that created all the paperwork to be shipped. It was good stuff.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
That's a question I have.
You know what, John? We don't have time for the question, unfortunately. We're
done.
John,
I will contact you.
Okay.
I want you two to get in touch.
We will get in touch, and we'll put some information about your exhibit on our website, and we'll talk.
And you can get John some polystyrene, and do write me first if you're going to do that, so we don't load up the gallery. Hey, thanks for John. We will talk soon, and maybe we'll follow this up next week. Mighty House is next, I'm sure. Maybe the guys are even in the building this time. Last time I said they weren't.
I saw them. They're here.
All right. Well, good. They're next on Chicago's Progressive Talk.